Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. This hour is going to be a little bit different. We will have 5 1-minute commercial breaks. So thanks to our friends over at Bud Light, you get more drive on your drive home. Before we get to the hits and the top stories, Sammy Watkins actually sent a message out, and he wants me to share it with you guys. It said, "Wow, man, Chiefs Kingdom will always have a special place in my heart." That is from at Sammy Watkins on Twitter. If you could relay a message to Sammy Watkins and tell him sort of the place that he has in your heart, what would you tell Sammy Watkins? Because you're a part of Chiefs Kingdom. You're a diehard Chiefs fan through and through. You talk about the red shades all the time. He wants you to know that you have a special place in his heart.
Again, what was his entire message? Because it sounded pretty long. And
wow, man, Chiefs Kingdom will always have a special place in my heart. That's what he said.
Yeah, I'm genuine. I appreciate that. Mine would be too long because we've only got an hour left with limited commercial breaks, thanks to Bud Light, like you said. Too many good memories, to be honest with you. Too many multiple touchdown games. Too many times where he was the difference maker. This season alone, there are probably like 10 or 11 touchdowns I'd like to talk about. So we don't have time for me to talk about my favorite Sammy Watkins moments. There's too many of them in a Chiefs uniform.
If you would like, you can go on the Twitter.com app and you can tweet Sammy Watkins right now. He's retweeting a lot of people who were thanking him for his time here in Kansas City. I certainly expect at Sean Levine KC to go on the Twitter machine and do the exact same thing. But Sammy Watkins wants you to know that you have a special place in his heart. I just want to share that.
Bro, he spent less time on the field in Kansas City than he did at his Airbnb in Tahiti during the football season. So I like Sammy Watkins, but the fact that he's a Raven kind of puts a smile on my face that Baltimore's a good football team that thinks that he's the answer to their problems. Okay, guys. All right.
Rob, really quickly, before we get to the hits, I know we don't have an update, so you can't really update people on this the way that you usually do. So the Chiefs, they're assigning a lot of their position coaches. So like wide receiver coach, running back coach, et cetera. Has anybody talked about the fact that right now they don't have an offensive coordinator? Like, has anybody mentioned that right now they don't? Like, Eric Bieniemy, in theory, would be the offensive coordinator. He didn't get an NFL job. He's not under contract right now with the team. I'm not saying it's a big deal, but I don't think for one second we talked about this offseason how right now they don't know who their offensive coordinator is, or at least they don't have an offensive coordinator under contract right now.
Yeah, I think we all know, though, that if Bieniemy didn't get a job as a head coach in the NFL, and some coaches don't actually give their blessing to their assistant coaches. They say they do, but they don't want them going anywhere because it makes their job more difficult. Andy Reid actually wants his assistants to have head coaches. Look at the success that all those guys have had. Probably the best coaching tree in the history of the NFL. So something tells me that Andy probably had a closed-door conversation with him and said, we want you to get a head coaching job. I'm going to put in a good word for you. I'm going to give you every connection that I have. And if you don't get one, then we'll figure it out back here. Like, if not, the Chiefs would be scrambling to get an offensive coordinator if they didn't know that they already had their guy in-house.
I mean, I think they would just promote Mike Kafka. That was a situation, but still an interesting development. Today, they announced basically every other position other than offensive coordinator, and that position has not currently been filled. Coming up in a little bit, we will, if you missed it, Jaron Reed was on the show. Speaking of the Chiefs, we'll play that for you in case you missed it. Really fun interview with the newest defensive member of the team. But baseball season is here, Rob. Let's celebrate it.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Well, although Royals baseball is back in full swing, the biggest story in Kansas City is Bill Self. He was given a lifetime contract Thursday by the Kansas Jayhawks. Sean, does this move surprise you, and does it show that Kansas has dug their heels in choosing Bill Self over any fear of the NCAA?
Look, Rob, we don't guard anybody. You probably score 15 on us. This is obvious. Maybe they weren't going to actually tell us that Bill Self had a lifetime contract, but didn't we all know that as long as Bill Self wanted to be the head coach at KU, he's going to be the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks? He's already been there for 18 years. I think CDOT, all this does is secures probably another dozen years, which would be 30. This stat always blows my mind. KU's only had 4 head basketball coaches, including Bill Self, since the year 1964. You know what that tells me? It's a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I think it has much more to do with the NCAA than about Kansas. As you said, I mean, Bill Self was always going to be the head coach if he wanted to be the head coach. They've now just made it it's now in paper, it's now in writing, right, as opposed to in theory. I think all you really need to know about this lifetime contract is in the current infractions case. So I'll summarize it. The parties agree that athletics will not terminate the head coach for cause due to any current infraction matter that involves the conduct that occurred to or prior to the date of the full execution of this agreement. So, no matter what happens with the NCAA, they now have a signed agreement that Kansas will not fire Bill Self for that. And basically how it's going to work, that if something happens, so if he gets suspended. So let's say that they ban Kansas from the NCAA tournament and Self has to miss the first 11 games, kind of like what happened with Jim Boeheim in Syracuse. So Bill Self would lose 50% of his salary during that time and then come back and the deal would just keep on keeping on. I think that's really the story of this, that right now, while there is some appeared uncertainty around the Kansas basketball program, you can't really double down or push your chip to the middle of the table more than ensuring that the coach can be there for as long as he wants and that nothing that could happen from the NCAA would make you fire the head coach. To me, this was a F you to the NCAA.
Say what you will about the infractions and his players not having as much success at the NBA level as Roy Williams players and Cal's players and all that stuff. I mean, when it comes to consistency, when it comes to having lottery picks, when it comes to being a top three team in the NCAA tournament, Bill Self is your guy. So for KU fans, this is absolutely music to our ears that he's not going anywhere. Can you imagine at your job, CDOT, they tell you, you can be here as long as you want, literally. At the end of every time your contract runs up, we just tack on another year. Oh, and by the way, whatever you do, you also can't get in trouble. Like, remember that thing that's kind of still going on with, you know, that FBI? Whatever ends up coming to that man, don't even worry about it, and you're here for a lifetime. It's a pretty good gig. I'm not saying you didn't earn it, but that's a pretty good gig.
Great gig if you can get it.
Two.
Well, the other major news story in Kansas City is your Kansas City Royals. Yesterday, they went out after a very bad top half of the first and won over the Texas Rangers. CDOT, was it interesting to see the Royals go full anti-Royals and have big power numbers and big patience at the plate?
Rob, what kind of music is this? That's not the music you play when you address me when it comes to these Kansas City Royals. You know the music to play. Yesterday was the most royal thing I had ever seen. Also, the most anti-royal thing I had ever seen. Some of you know the kind of situation I'm talking about. You grab your kids, you grab your wife, you grab whoever you're going to the game with, and you pay the parking, and you go to the game. And before you even sit down, the Royals are down 4-0. Like, here we go, same old Royals. That happened yesterday on opening day. But I'm here to tell you the power of hope shined through. And yes, they were down big, 5-0. I saw the tweets. I saw the jokes. I heard the cackles from a Sean Levine. Sean couldn't wait to come on here and tell you how he was right and how all offseason he was telling me this about the Royals and how Hope Harrison was dead. But you know what they did? They rose from the ashes like a phoenix. You've seen that one gif of The Undertaker where he sits up. That's what happened yesterday with the Kansas City Royals. And they didn't just do this with the arms. They didn't just do this with the bats. They did this with patience. As long as I've watched the Kansas City Royals, they have not been a team that values on-base percentage. They have not been a team that values the walk. But you know what they did this offseason? They got guys who specialize in on-base percentage. They got guys who specialize in getting walks. And what did they do? They did that yesterday. So I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care as much about the win as one would think. It's one baseball game in a very big picture. But the philosophy of this team to value on-base percentage is what matters and what can keep you in games on days where you're not hitting like they're hitting. You're not going to get 14 hits. You're not going to have the power numbers that they have. But Carlos Santana getting 3 walks yesterday and them having 8 as a team, that's something as a philosophy you hope can continue to carry on.
Here's the thing, Hope. No, you get the music on.
You don't get the hope. Stop it. There's nothing about the last 4 months that you have deserved the hope music. You can talk over the hits music.
What if I won on the bandwagon?
No.
What if I was wrong?
No.
We're not 2 weeks into the season. It's not the All-Star break.
No, because
we're one game in. I won in.
Because then if they lose the series, see, I told you no.
Come on, dude. I let you in. Are you serious?
I wouldn't do this after 4 hours.
You're not going to let me on?
No.
Oh, my God. That's shameful. I thought we were dudes. Yesterday was incredibly fun. They got down 5. They caught him by the second inning. 2-hit wit was 3-hit wit. Jorge Soler was Soler power. I mean, everybody's doing their thing. Kyle, you call him Isabel. It's pronounced Isbel. Had 1, 2, 3 hits in his big league debut. Michael A. Taylor had 3 hits. The A stands for arm. He hosed out 2 people at the plate. Nicky Lopez, I thought you sucked. I apologize like I did to Derek Carr. Don't make me take it back in a couple of days.
I mean,
he had a couple of hits also.
He ain't going to hit 500
for the season. I'm starting
to
believe also, man. Okay. I'm with hope. Like, here's the thing. Most of the time when people preach to me, you know, you've all seen that guy on the corner with his megaphone, like, preaching to you. I want to see it. It's one thing for you to yell it real loud. I want to see action, and then maybe I'll start to believe. Well, I saw the action yesterday. You preached. It actually came to fruition.
We're not letting you on.
Let me on.
No, because you'll be right off. It don't take nothing to – you going whichever way the wind is going. We not letting you on. No. You had an opportunity to get on before the season.
It's been one game.
I know. That's why I'm surprised you want to get on so quickly.
I want on.
I can't believe – you know what?
What?
If you apologize to Adalberto Mondesi and say, I, Sean Levine, believe in Nicky Lopez, so then we can have the cut. So you're like, I never said that. We can have the cut. I'll let you on the wagon.
I don't want on because of Adalberto Mondesi.
What do you want
to do with yesterday's game?
If you want to get on the wagon, I want you to say, I'm hopeful when he comes back that he can turn things around. And then I also want you to say, I, Sean Levine, believe in Nicky Lopez. If you do those two things, I'm happy to let you on.
I can't
lie. If not, then we're moving on.
I believe it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the things that my parents taught me when I was a young boy. Well, I'm not going to come on here.
Next hit, it sounds like we're going to.
3.
I can't believe that.
Well, a major storyline from the Royals other than their victory was how difficult it was to find and watch the game on the television. Carrington, how can this be the system that the Royals use?
I could just turn the music off. I want to talk about this until the break. I am in a good mood today. I swear to you, I'm in a good mood. Some of you will hear this as complaining, but I'm here telling you that this fight is for me and for you. So I am your typical millennial. I got rid of cable. I was looking at my bill that they email me every month. I was looking at the price, and that price wasn't something I was too happy with. So I came to the conclusion after doing some research of there's a better way for me to get television. So I decided at that point, Spectrum, thank you, but no thank you. I'll continue my internet provide, or service that you guys provide, but I don't want the cable anymore.
He gone.
I canceled the cable. I then tried some different streaming television services. I tried Sling for a while, tried Hulu, and I eventually settled on, I really like YouTube TV. It is a phenomenal program. I would advise anybody listening right now to cancel cable and pick up YouTube TV. That's how much I like
it. Like that, you should try RedTube TV. It's incredible.
So I'm then watching my sports. And I can watch the NCAA tournament this way. I get all the NFL games this way. I get to watch my NBA. I get to watch basically anything that I want to watch with YouTube TV. But yesterday when, you know, I took my sister, we go get lunch and we go home and she's like, let's watch the Royals game. I'm like, you know what? I want to watch the Royals game. I'm like, oh yeah, it's not on YouTube TV. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. So I, like many of you, have access to somebody's cable password. So I type in their password thinking, all right, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not on YouTube TV. I can just very easily watch this on the Fox Sports Go app. No, blackout rules applied. Can't watch it. All right, what are we doing here? This doesn't make any sense to me. Baseball wants to grow their sport. Why are they making it harder for me to watch it on television? I imagine there's some of you that ran through some of these same problems that I ran into and then just decided, I don't care to watch it that much on television. I'll turn it on the radio. I'll catch another game. I'll just do something else.
Should have started on the radio. That was your problem. You should have started right here at 610 Sports Radio. You would have saved yourself a ton of heartache.
The NFL would never do this to us. The NBA doesn't do this. College football doesn't do this to us. Basically, everything else that we watch has come around to this is how we watch television. Right now, blockbuster movies. I'm talking big-time movies. If you don't want to go to the movie theater to watch Mortal Kombat that's coming out, if you didn't want to go to the movie theater to watch Judas and the Black Messiah, you know what you could do? Watch it on your television on an app. Why yesterday, in order for me to watch the Kansas City Royals, as I live in downtown Kansas City, so I'm like 15 minutes from the stadium, I got to get my computer. I got to grab the HDMI cord. I got to hook it into the television. I got to go on Reddit.com. I got to find a stream. I got to move the stream from. Why do you have to do all that? This is stupid. Who does this benefit? It doesn't benefit you. It doesn't benefit the Royals. It doesn't benefit anybody why you have to do all of this. This is stupid. I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know who caused this. I just want them to fix it. I know I'm not the only person right now that feels this pain. I'm not the only person yesterday that just simply wanted to sit down and watch the Royals game. You never have to do this with football. Never have to do this with basketball. Why is baseball doing this? Especially at a time in which it's limited on how many people can go to the park. It ain't like there can be 100,000 people in the park where someone can say, ah, too bad, you should have just went to the game. Only 10,000 people can go. So the rest of us either got to watch it on television or got to listen on the radio, and yet they made it nearly impossible to do so. Yesterday, watching the Royals game was like ordering In-N-Out. Have you ever heard somebody what their In-N-Out burger is? It sounds like some secret speakeasy in which you, I just want a cheeseburger. I don't want your cheeseburger. You got to cook it medium rare. You got to put wild stuff. I just want a cheeseburger. That's all I wanted to do was pick up my PlayStation 5 controller, go to the YouTube TV app, click on the button, watch the TV. That's all I wanted to do yesterday, but they made that impossible for me.
Are we playing the interview next? Because I have some thoughts on this, but Rob's telling me we have to take a break. But I got some thoughts on this not being able to watch opening day of the Royals game in Kansas City. So can we keep this train rolling?
We can absolutely do so. Come back. We are going to take a one-minute break thanks to our friends over at Bud Light. Exactly 1 minute. Come back. I'll continue to complain about the television. Sean will tell us how he feels. That's next. Back in on the drive, I appreciate you guys listening to my complaining. I just have one more analogy to make. There's this documentary right now on Netflix. It's called The Last Blockbuster. It's about what you think it is. It's about the rise and fall of Blockbuster, and there is one more Blockbuster in the entire world, and they follow the people that own the Blockbuster.
Some weirdos, I bet.
And one of the themes of it, if you know the Blockbuster story, is at one point, they had a chance to buy Netflix for $30 million. The Netflix that you have that have 300 million subscribers, Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy it, but they didn't see the vision. Everything that we do now is mobile. phone, television. And the companies that adapt to that are the ones that grow. We just saw the NFL sign a $2 billion streaming deal. $2 billion last week, where they're going to increase it. There's a rumor right now that once NFL Sunday Ticket is available, that either Amazon or ESPN Plus are going to buy it. Because the NFL, they're smart. They see that the future is on your phone. The future is on your Xbox. The future is on your smart TV. The only sport that doesn't seem to see that is, of course, baseball. And it's stupid. And it only hurts the consumers. People are not going back to cable. People are not going back to the old way of watching television. So why not make it easier for those people to do it? I obviously want people to listen to the radio, especially from 2 to 6. I want you, from the moment that our show is supposed to start to end, don't do anything else in your life. That would be the best thing for me. But I'm also not naive enough to think that you guys don't want to watch the game on television. And the fact that yesterday it was nearly impossible for some people to do so is dumb. Yes, some of you didn't have these problems. You have cable or you have a different streaming service. That wasn't the case for me, which is silly.
Baseball's every bit as good on the radio. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the radio station that plays the Royals games every single night. I honestly believe it. Now, I remember growing up, you could watch like 15, 20 games a year. You had to catch the rest on the radio. I think it was right here. It was called 61 Country at the time. And they played on like channel 62. And then they moved to channel 29 on the WB. You get like a quarter of the games. You could watch like 40 of them or something like that. And then things got really good. This is like probably 15 years ago at this point. It's been a while. Remember Metro Sports?
Mm-hmm.
It's changed names a million times, but
it's now Spectrum Sports.
They got the rights to the Royals, and then you could watch like half the games or something like that.
Yeah, they had RSTN.
And then something really good happened probably like a decade ago, and every single time that I wanted to watch a Royals game, I just hit power on my remote, and it's crazy. The game came on my television. And then last night happened, and I thought, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a pain in the ass because I'm not great with all this technology and this streaming stuff and YouTube, and I'll screw it up. Something won't work. I thought it was me. I thought I was the only one that was struggling to get the game. And then I started looking at my phone, and I had 18 text messages that were like, bro, we're listening to the game on your station, but is there any way to watch it on TV? And my answer right now, 24 hours after the game basically is over with, is I don't know. Like, I still don't know exactly how you're supposed to watch Royals games going forward. I do know that it's a terrible plan. Whatever they came up with, the intent was, let's let more people have access to it whenever they want. But there's a lot of people that are pissed off after one game. I mean, that was a great game. I know there's 161 more of these things, but if you missed it because you couldn't figure it out and the Royals came back from down 5 and came back from down 3 and had an epic 14-10 win, I understand you're pissed off today.
I just don't understand how, especially in the midst of everything that's happening, and I mean everything that's happening is fewer people just can't go to the game just by the rules, why you would make it harder and more difficult to follow your sport as opposed to easier and more convenient. Like, we all see the ratings in sports right now, and it's down across the board. The Super Bowl ratings were down. The NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight were the worst rated Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games in the history of the NCAA tournament. The NBA Finals ratings were down. Fewer people are watching sports now for a bunch of different reasons. If you're baseball, why would you make it more difficult to watch and follow your sport? It's something that only baseball would do. If I told you right now what league would have this problem, it would be baseball. Some people are saying I have AT&T and was able to watch. Yes, some people did not have this problem. There are a lot of people like me who had the exact same problem that, yes, I was able to watch it, but I shouldn't have to find an illegal stream to be able to watch the team. I shouldn't have to do that. It should just be on the service that I give them $65 a month for. It should just be on it.
And I know in hindsight, it's probably a little bit more painful if you didn't get a chance to watch that game. Of course, you can catch every game for free right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. And again, baseball on the radio, mowing your lawn with those old school headphones on, listening to the game. I don't care if it's Denny or Stu or Bob Davis back in the day. Swish! I love listening to Royals baseball on the radio. But if you missed yesterday's game, boy, you missed something. I mean, they got down 5, and every time that I can ever remember, and I'm not just talking about opening day, I'm talking about ever, a Royals team getting down by 5 runs in the first inning, the game was over. Just go ahead and do something else. Watch a different game. go out and get some ice cream, but there's no point in watching. And by the second inning, they had already caught him. Yesterday was one of the more enjoyable Royals. For those that didn't get a chance to watch, I apologize. I'm not trying to pour salt in the wound. That was one of the more enjoyable regular season Royals games that I've watched in years.
And I think that's what makes it so frustrating, aside from just the one individual game. Like, you missed one game out of 162, like, you'll be fine. But there's a chance that this team is fun. There's a team.
Oh, they're going to be fun.
Like, there's a chance this team is enjoyable. There's a chance that this team can score runs. There's a chance that this team can be exciting and building in a way that can really get people to buy into this team. You're looking at them. I'm not saying they're the 14 and 15 Royals by any means, but they certainly got a 12 and 13 kind of vibe to them. Yeah. And in 12 and 13, you felt like things were moving in the right direction. And this season, you and I are on different pages when it comes to what we want the end goal to be. But, man, yesterday was the best of both worlds. You got to see some personal development from individual guys. You also got to see them at the end of the game win. You got to see them at the end of it. They won. And they did it in a way that they just weren't capable of doing in the last two or three seasons. So I'm certainly optimistic about the season. I don't want anyone to hear what I've said over the last 10 minutes and take it like it's you should be down on the team. No, you should be really excited about the team. The Royals showed you power. The Royals showed you the ability to get on base. The Royals showed you young guys that you're excited to see. Kyle Ilsbell. Like, they showed you the bullpen. And you got to see the nostalgia of Holland and Wade Davis. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. If you got the opportunity to go out there either Saturday or Sunday, I highly encourage you to go out and watch this team. It's just frustrating that the people who profit the most off the team from a media standpoint, from a television standpoint, completely drop the ball on what will probably be one of their most exciting games of the year.
Can you please let me on? Please let me on that bandwagon. It's been one game. I made a mistake this offseason. You were right. They're going to be exciting. Maybe they don't win the 77 games you keep talking about, but I don't want to be the guy that wasn't there. I don't want to be the guy that was late to the party. I don't want to be the guy that's chasing the bandwagon as it drives away from me. I'm sold after one game. I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. Please, there's no room for me.
Coming up in
there's
just
no
a little
room
bit.
For me.
Not at all. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about a team that you are on the bandwagon for, and we'll talk about Roy Williams, who officially has stepped down at the University of North Carolina. Coming back in exactly 1 minute. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive. Coming up in about 10 minutes, if you missed it, Jaron Reed was on our show earlier today. If you missed it, we will play it for you coming up. We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Keep it locked in right here. It is 610 Sports Radio, also the Odyssey app. This is from the Houston Police Department. They just tweeted this out. Today, a complainant filed a report with the Houston Police Department regarding Deshaun Watson. As with any allegation, the Houston Police Department is now conducting an investigation and will not comment further during the investigative process. We haven't really talked about the Deshaun Watson situation. It's really difficult to talk about it because so much is happening all at one time. I'll say this about it and we can move on. I would encourage anybody to read the story that was put in the Sports Illustrated. The woman that came forward in this is not part of the civil suit, so she's not asking for any money, and it is an anonymous person, and her story was corroborated by Sports Illustrated. That's number one. I would encourage anybody to read it. The second thing with Deshaun Watson, as I've really tried to educate myself on this story, because it obviously has like a grave implication on what the NFL season could look like, is the MO in every single situation seems to be Deshaun Watson is big on privacy, right? Like, if you even know a little bit about the story, it's, hey, I'm super famous. I don't want to be out there like that. Can we do this thing just between me and you? It's hard to really sell that to me when there's 40 people that have now come forward. It'd be one thing if it was like two people that this happened to, where it's like, all right, you weren't really on here. Like, I don't think it's any debating, at least this part of it. Like, regardless of where you feel, there's no debating this. Deshaun Watson, with multiple women on Instagram, contacted them for a private massage. It's hard to tell me that you're keeping it low key, that you don't want to be out there, especially during COVID, because the majority of these things happened in 2020. If there are now 40 separate people that said you hit them up for a massage, like, you got to at least explain that apart to me. I ain't saying he did it. I ain't saying he didn't do it. I don't know. But you got to at least convince me of how you're trying to be private and low-key when you are a serial Instagram deep diver and these girls' DMs to come over your crib and give you a massage.
Why are these rich guys always so super creepy? Not always so super creepy, but you would think that there would be, I guess, willing women opposed to women that you make uncomfortable to do these sorts of things. Also, and again, you know more about this than I do, and I feel a little bit uncomfortable talking about it because there's still a lot that's going on with the allegations, and it's not even really in the court systems just yet. We also know that when there's somebody that has a lot of money and the accusations start, other people start to pile on. So you're right. It's hard to imagine that there's no fire where there's smoke, but if it's as bad as the stories seem to be, where there's upwards of 25, 30, 40 different women, then you know there's going to be different levels of things that happen also. I don't know what the future is with this dude.
I mean, that's where I am. I mean, if it's completely transparent, that's where I am. It was one thing when it was in the very beginning. I don't care who you are. If 40 separate people accuse you of doing something,
you probably did something. Yeah.
Like, you probably did it. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know. I can't tell you definitively one way or the other. But we've seen this in other instances when it comes to sexual assault and sexual allegations. Bro, it's hard to say that everybody's lying when everybody is 41 people. You can tell me everybody's lying when it's two people, and I might believe you. You can tell me everybody's lying if it's like three or four people. Bro, you have 40. You had damn near a college football team number of people. You telling me every single, and all their stories seem to match up with the MO? Like, every single story, how they contacted you, how you acted, all of these people just secretly corroborated and met up to just come up with this huge scheme to bring you down. It's becoming more and more difficult to believe. And I would say at this point, it is impossible to believe Deshaun Watson.
The Texans thought they had trouble on their hands when they, you know, had to fire Bill O'Brien in the offseason, that they traded away DeAndre Hopkins and all this stuff with their front office and a new general manager and somebody that's not even actually on the payroll, having the most influence in running the football team. Like, it's a complete and total train wreck. But I think that they figured that, you know what, as bad as it is, at least we've got Deshaun Watson. And we've either got Deshaun Watson here and we're going to convince him to be happy and play here for the next 4 years of his contract, which he just signed, by the way, or at least we've got Deshaun Watson and we're going to get back a king's ransom. We're going to get back one of those young quarterbacks in the draft. We're going to get back multiple first round draft picks. At this point with Deshaun Watson, Houston might just have a paperweight. They might have absolutely nothing. You want to talk about a situation that's gone from bad to worse and it's not going to get better anytime soon? I don't know where this thing's going.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll replay our conversation with Jaren Reed. Jaren Reed was on our show earlier today. Some of you missed it. We'll play it for you. We'll also have Ask Us Anything, the segment that you control. Start texting your questions in if you would like. 913-576-7610. Speaking of texting, text the word Harmony, H-A-R-M-O-N-Y, Harmony, H-A-R-M-O-N-Y. Text the word Harmony to 72881. Your National Cash Contest code word 4530 is Harmony. Back to your Kansas Jayhawks and Bill Self. I really think today is a great day if you're a Kansas Jayhawk. He always had a lifetime contract, so I don't really think that part of it is maybe the interesting part. But I think what we typically see in situations where the NCAA can come down. Let's think about what happened with with Pete Carroll. When Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC, it was obvious that the NCAA was coming with everything that was surrounding Reggie Bush, and Pete Carroll could not wait to run to the NFL. Chip Kelly, the exact same thing happened at Oregon. Like, there's kind of this belief in college circles that, hey, if the coach is going to leave, that's a sign that the NCAA boogeyman is coming. The fact that in the contract, Kansas basically says, we don't care about it, we're not going to suspend you for anything. The fact that they did this in the middle of everything that's going on, and certainly the belief that something eventually is going to happen to Kansas, lets you know that the administration is riding with Bill over everything, and that Bill is also riding with you. It doesn't lock Bill in. Tomorrow, if Bill wants to go coach the Los Angeles Lakers, it is a $2 million buyout. That's nothing. To give you an example, Chris Beard to go coach at Texas was $4 million. So Bill can get out of this deal if he really wants to, but the fact that he was willing to sign it with the language in it that he was willing to sign it with lets you know that Bill ain't going nowhere for a very long time.
It also lets me know that maybe he's not scared. Maybe the allegations, well, I'm not trying to back out because I'm a KU guy and say nothing happened. Maybe he's got, you know, some sort of word that it's not going to be as bad as sometimes you make it out to be, or the KU haters make it out to be, that he's going to have to go away for 10 or 14 games, or they're going to lose scholarships, or they're not going to be postseason eligible. It's not like this happened a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. This has been going on now for like the last 3 years or so. Maybe Bill Self just thinks, all right, Nothing's going to happen. If it does, it's going to be a slap on the wrist. I've got a great situation here. I mean, I don't know if you ever have been to Lawrence, but when you see that guy in town, it's like the president walking around. He absolutely, like, you can say that, Lawrence, the face of Lawrence, the reason why it runs and operates is because of the University of Kansas. Well, let's be more specific. It's because of KU basketball, and the face of KU basketball is Bill Self. So he's got a pretty good gig. There have only been four head basketball coaches at KU since 1964. And like you said, even though this makes it official, it was always unofficial that Bill Self could be at KU for as long as he wanted.
Somebody who also had the ability to be at KU for as long as he wanted was Roy Williams. He officially retired from coaching basketball.
Today's times, I should say that I'm not retiring or resigning. I'm opting out. That's the most ridiculous phrase I've ever heard in my life. Why the hell don't you just say I quit? So I'm old school and I can't use those words, but I will tell you that I'm retiring and resigning as a men's basketball coach at North Carolina. It's been a thrill. It has been unbelievable. I've loved it. It's coaching, and that's all I've ever wanted to do since the summer after my ninth grade year in high school. No one has ever enjoyed coaching like I have for 48 years.
From everything that I read yesterday and everything that I gathered, I think the game, and we all know college athletics has always been a cesspool. I think it's even more dirtier than it's ever been before. When you think about the shoe money, you think about now, I think it's pretty out in the open about the recruiting, where it goes to certain schools based on their shoe affiliation. If you think about, I think at least from the coach's perspective, I think that the NIL and name and likeness is about to go through, where I think the student athletes are going to start making money here for playing college basketball, I would say in the next 24 months based on how things are moving. If you think about how there's virtually, I would say at this point, let's call it what it is, that kids' ability to transfer the way has turned into college basketball free agency, where if you want to leave any school and then just go join, even in the same conference, you can now. I think that the changes in college athletics have worn Roy out, and he's like, man, I've lived a great life. I've made a lot of money doing this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. It's time for me to step aside and let somebody else who has the passion to do this do it.
All of that, and he's 70 years old, so it feels like a combination of it not being the same game that he fell in love with and the timing is right. I do think that it opens up the doors now for probably the best coaching job in college basketball, and I wonder how many guys are going to put their name in the hat, and I wonder who Carolina's going to end up going after. Like, I know you think that they're going to end up going with a Hubert Davis or somebody in-house like they typically have. I know this much. They can't get Bill Self. He just signed a lifetime contract. They're not going to get Cal. They're not going to get Kay. They're probably not going to get Brad Stevens. But every other basketball coach in the world would at least listen to an offer to be the head coach of the Tar Heels.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll play our conversation with Jaron Reed, new Chiefs defensive lineman. Jaron Reed joined us earlier today. We'll play it for you in 1 minute. Don't turn that dial. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 10 minutes, it is the segment that you control, Ask Us Anything. Start texting in your questions, 913-576-7610. Earlier today, we had the opportunity to catch up with new Chiefs defensive lineman Jaron Reed. Our conversation started with, what is it like to now play with Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just, you know, of course, you know, great organizations, attract players. And I wasn't going to go play with, you know, what's my boy name from the replacements, jokingly, but just that was a joke. But, you know, I just wanted to come to where, you know, they have a winning formula. And, you know, it's 1 year, and I wanted to be the best year ever. And that's basically it, you know, just get a chance to play with these guys, you know, give them this defense, you know, give them a winning team, come to the AFC versus the NFC. You know, it's refreshing, you know, a breath of new air.
You talk about Shane Falco?
Yeah, that's my man, okay. Man. I was trying to think of it on the fly. Shane Falco. But he was pretty good, though.
Let's be honest, though. And tell me if you disagree. That's one of the worst football movies ever made. That movie's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Okay, but, thank you.
But it's still, I like it because it's just funny to me.
What's your favorite football movie?
Probably The Junction Boys.
I saw that, man. I haven't seen it in a long time. I'm still sticking
with it. Exactly. It's old, but it just gives you that football feel. It was either that, Remember the Titans, or Believe It or Not, Any Given Sunday. It was either of those three I can watch, you know, any day. But, you know, Junction Boys is downright football, dirty, you know, just, you know, just it's just a lot to it, man. It speaks a lot of volume.
Jaren, I find it hard to believe that you like Junction Boys because you would hate to practice like that today. Like, so, like, let's say the Coach Reed was like, hey, we're going to practice just like the Junction Boys.
In some brutal conditions.
You guys might actually strike or something.
It probably would, but I mean, either you're going to play or you're not. Somebody, I would do it just to see, you know, I like to challenge myself. So, I mean, I probably would complain about it, but I probably would do it, especially if it's my job. So, yeah.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school at?
I grew up in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I went to Goldsboro High School.
Where'd you go to college, play your college ball at?
I went 2 years at East Mississippi Community College, and I played 2 years at Alabama.
Bring up East Mississippi Community College. Everybody knows that as the school from Last Chance U. Which do you get asked more about, playing in the NFL or going to the school from the first two seasons of Last Chance U?
I get asked about Last Chance U a lot, especially if they know I win. That's usually the first question. And then, do you still play now? Yeah. Where you play at? Seattle. Then it's the question about Russell Wilson, by the way, not about me. So, that's the fun part. Good. That's the funny part. It's all funny games, though, man. It's all love, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I want to talk to you more about going to the school from Last Chance U than talking about playing in the NFL. As someone who loves that show, just finished the basketball season, I could talk to you for hours about that show.
I think it's great, man. It just gives an insight of what, you know, people really go through. And, you know, you can't knock junior college because it's a great opportunity, for one, for your education, and for two, for you to become better as a player and as a person and learn, you know, before you get somewhere. You know, if somebody's scared to, you know, jump out there or want to leave a school, I don't think it's right. You know, junior college is definitely a place to go. It's very humbling. It's very tough, and, you know, it makes you appreciate everything. You know, you can't take life for granted or school or football for granted, and it just brings you back to reality, man. I think it's real good that, you know, the world gets to see that, you know, because even before I went, I didn't really know much about junior college. But now I think, you know, they're putting it out there, you know, for guys who need an opportunity to better themselves, whether it be in grades or, you know, as far as their characteristics. You know, it's a good place to go, you know, to where they can have a reality check, because, you know, as a person, me, I think if you don't make it out of JUCO, you know, it's really rare that you, you know, can make it out, especially in sports. That's my main focus, what I'm talking about. And I just think it's good. You know, I think it's a great opportunity.
How did you and the homies watch Last Chance U? Because sometimes after a good show or a bad show, I'll go home and I'll listen to it. Did you guys, like, gather at the dorm and watch the episodes?
Nah, so the one that they started showing, I was already gone. So it was like, I was just watching it just because I just like watching football, and especially documentaries about football. And so I just thought it was pretty tight because I knew some of the people that were there. Of course, I knew the coaches. And it's just funny to see, you know, how, you know, how people really act versus how they act on camera.
Jaren, the show is sort of based on a lot of the players sort of have the dream that you're now living. They want to go to a D1. They want to go to the NFL. But you obviously know very few people actually get to this level. When was it when you realized back in East Mississippi, or maybe it was a little bit later, that, like, you could actually play in the NFL and actually turn it into a really productive career the way that you have?
I think it was when I came back for my second year. And, you know, just the amount of schools, you know, that will come out to practice, you know, that will come watch it, the scouts that will come out there. And I was like, you know, and it's, you know, the coaches know, you know, and it's different for every type of player. But the coaches know as well. And it's all about, you know, who can really lock in and who can really just hone down on to what's the goal at hand. You know, what are you there for? What's your why? And, yeah, and me being a young guy was still hard to learn. It took me a minute to still learn that, you know, I was still playing just raw talent and just getting going. But when you start learning about life and, you know, what you're going to do, how you can set your family up, your kids up, you know, then it starts to turn more to a profession. And I think that's what separates the difference, you know. And it's all about the mentality of the player.
right now a lot of kids are making the decision on what they want to do next year. For kids that are going to have to take a similar path to you, what advice would you give them?
That is okay. You know, that is not over with. You know, you can have some of your best time in junior college. You can grow as a person, grow as a player, you know, grow as a man. If some of them have kids, they can grow as a father. And that, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to have a short-term sacrifice for a long-term goal. And that just means, you know, if you have to go the junior college route, do it. Because sometimes it's a blessing in disguise for you. And it actually can lead you to what you want to do in life. So that's what I would have to say.
So do you enjoy coming to a place like Kansas City? It sounds like you've kind of been a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You like coming to the Midwest, coming to a place like KC?
Exactly. You know, some country, some just chill, a football town. It's what I'm used to, man. It's what I'm used to.
So you mentioned you got a chance to play with Frank Clark in the past, and CDOT and I were looking at your numbers. Ironically, a couple of years ago, you had your best season. He had his best season. Is there anything to that?
I think, you know, the chemistry plays a lot to that. You know, just being around and playing together, rushing together, being on the same accord. You know, that's basically all it is at the end of the day. You know, you got to know who you're playing with. You got to know each other's strengths, know each other's weaknesses, and, you know, basically just – what makes each other better.
Right now we're talking to Chiefs defensive lineman Jaron Reed. Jaron, while this free agency period is happening, how much are players talking to each other? Like, how much recruiting is going on? Because you talk about the relationship that you have with Frank Clark. How is, like, so is he kind of in your ear, kind of convincing you to come to Kansas City, or is he kind of letting the business kind of take care of itself?
It's a little bit of both, but, you know, it ain't take much. You know, of course, especially when you're friends outside of football, you're talking to each other all the time, and everybody wants to, you know, the thought and just playing with each other. And if it can happen, I'm pretty sure it will happen. I would like to play with my friends, especially if they're good. So, you know, I would try to do what I can to bring them in. And, you know, everything just worked out for itself, you know. Like I said, there was mutual interest. And, you know, my guy was already here. And, you know, it was enough said, you know.
For those that haven't seen you play, how would you describe your game? We've been talking a lot that the Chiefs need somebody that can get to the quarterback. You that guy?
Oh, yes, sir. I like to think I am. I'm going to do what I can. You know, just come in and just play my game. You know, fast, physical, hard-nosed. You know, I like to think I'm an old-school type of football player versus new school. So, yeah, I'm really about football. You know, that's my game. That's my life. I'm a football junkie. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to show what I can do rather than talk about it.
Jaron, you've been playing with one of the best coaches in the NFL the last handful of years, Pete Carroll. Now you get a chance to continue that with Andy Reid. How much did that have to do with your decision to come here?
Oh, a lot. You know, great coaches, you know, tend to have great teams and great players. And, you know, you like to play for guys like that. You know, Andy Reid has put his stable in his league. I mean, he's well-known, well-respected. Now, I see the way the guys cling to him is very great. You know, I think he has a relationship with his players that is good, you know, because some, like, you know, just some coaches don't know their players. And it was great just, you know, to be hands-on with him, just talk to him and everything. You know, I respect him. I have the utmost respect for him and his team. And I'm going to give him everything I got.
That was Jaron Reed joining us on the show earlier today. If you want to catch the full interview, be sure to check it out on the podcast page, the Odyssey app. Coming up, we'll answer all of your questions. It is Ask Us Anything, 913-576-7610. We will answer your questions in exactly 60 seconds. Don't turn that dial.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
It is the segment that you control. Ask Us Anything, 913-576-7610. If you got a question, now is the time to ask your question. 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. Also, the Odyssey app. What do you guys have up for the weekend?
I think we're going to First Fridays tonight. Haven't been in quite a long time. And there's some talk tomorrow about checking out a new campground. But I don't know if I want to drive like 3.5 hours out in the middle of Missouri to go camping somewhere I've never been. I'll just go to Hillsdale. So I'm trying to talk myself out of that tomorrow. I'm just trying to chill and watch some basketball this weekend.
I've heard a lot about this documentary. I think it's called Murder of the Mormons or Murder on the Mormons. It's something on Netflix. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'll either watch that or, Rob, have you seen that Allen versus Pharaoh right now on Woody Allen on HBO Max? I'll watch either one of those two this weekend.
Woody Allen's in my queue right now. I haven't seen it yet, though. But I'm going to actually start that Disney Plus series, the Mighty Ducks one. I'm actually interested in that. It's gotten some good reviews. I'm going to start that this weekend.
I don't really have much interest in Gonzaga UCLA because I think that they're going to smoke UCLA. I'm super interested, obviously, for the national championship if it ends up being the matchup that we have. I think Gonzaga rolls UCLA or Houston if that's the team they end up playing in the national championship. I think Baylor can beat them, but I don't think that Houston or UCLA can beat Gonzaga.
Baylor-Houston's going to be good. That's like a 4.5, 5-point line right now. I wouldn't be shocked if Houston pulls off that upset, if you really want to consider that too much of an upset. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, UCLA, they played in the first four. They were literally one of the last teams that the committee was deciding if they should be in the giant tournament or not. It feels like they're about to wake up from their dream. I would be absolutely stunned if this is where Gonzaga's road comes to an end at the hands of UCLA.
I would be celebrating Easter with my family, but my family's actually going out of town, so I'm a little disappointed that I don't...
Come to that Easter egg hunt.
I don't have any interest in going to any Easter egg hunt.
Come on over. It's going to be fun. Apparently, they've got double the amount of Easter eggs this year that they've ever had at my girlfriend's family thing, so if you want to come, just hit me up.
I'm actually really excited for Easter because my whole family's double vaxxed, so like we're going to live like normal Easter lives. I'm pretty excited about it.
I got my second vaccination last week. Couple of thoughts. Number one... That shot actually hurt. The first one didn't hurt. Like, I did not feel the first one at all. I didn't have any symptoms after the first one. I was like, yo, this is easy.
Don't tell me this, because I'm already scared of needles, and I'm scheduled to get mine on Tuesday.
I got the second one. It hurt like how a shot hurts, so it was just like, ow. And then Monday, I was hurting on Monday. I was hurting in like a... I felt like I had played basketball all day, kind of sore. Like, my body was just really, really sore.
Oh, I can handle that. I thought you were going to say you felt like you got hit by a Mack truck or something. I can deal with just, I'm always sore.
It was just really, really sore. Like, my entire body was sore. I also felt like I was just moving slower than I normally move, but that lasted for, like, 36 hours. And after that, ever since Tuesday, I've been perfectly fine.
I'm not worried about that because, I mean, from the second that I get out of bed, I think this is our age gap, like... Once you get like 35 and older, every move you make, you sound like this. So there's a good chance that, that'd probably be happening for me.
Text line 913-576-7610. Did any of you guys watch the Tom and Jerry movie? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I didn't know there was one. I love Tom and Jerry. So now that I'm aware of it, what service is it on?
It was on HBO Max, but they just took it off.
Oh, too late. Well, I don't love it enough to find a way to watch it.
I really liked the Sonic movie, and Cody Tapp always laughs at me, but I'm like, the Sonic movie was good. Like, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. The Tom and Jerry one just looks absolutely silly. I can't do it.
The Sonic movie, I came in the middle of it, and I left before it was over with. I'm still highly confused. I know you told me it was a good movie. The parts I saw, it was all right. I thought that Robotnik was well played. It was okay. Maybe I need to see the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I'm really excited for Mortal Kombat. That comes out. They pushed it back. It was supposed to come out the 16th. Now it comes out the 23rd. I'm actually really excited.
What about Godzilla versus Kong?
I'll go see it at the movie theater. I don't have any interest in watching it at home. Like, I don't know if you can get the same vibe at home as kind of going back to the theater. So I'll probably see it, but I don't think I'll see it at home.
Are you worried about the dialogue?
No, not at all. Not at all worried about the dialogue. 913-576-7610. Somebody said they got the shot when it was at Arrowhead when they were doing the mass vaccinations. I'm surprised they haven't done that more frequently. Like, that seems like a once a week kind of thing they should be doing. Like, I'm really optimistic about our ability, and I mean our country's ability to be back to normal by the 4th of July.
That Arrowhead drive-through thing, not only was it a good idea, it looked like it was very efficient. Have you ever gone through like the Wendy's drive-through and not stopped? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
they're doing your food? They're doing it so frequently. I saw yesterday, I was reading a story about Baltimore, and they have vaccinated 75,000 people over the last week at their football stadium. Like, I think all of those teams should be using it. Like, I would say of all the businesses we know that could best be benefited by more and more people being vaccinated, you would think it's local NFL teams. Like, There's no place in our country that people congregate at more than, I would say, music festivals and football games. Like, where else? What else do 100,000 people attend at one time?
You pretty much nailed it.
I guess there's some churches that are that big, but no churches like football big. I'm saying there's no churches football big. There are some churches in Texas that are as big as baseball. Like, there's
hosting spot. I think that the thing was a good idea because it allowed a lot of. I didn't know it was as accessible as it was until on Monday or whatever that was. I said, "Hey Rob, how'd you get your shot?" He goes, "Just literally type in like Google, how do you get vaccinated in Kansas City or Missouri?" And 5 minutes later, I'm set up for a couple of shots. I think there's a lot of people listening right now that think I want to get it done, but I don't want to go through the process.
At this point,
it's not really a process.
I mean, I mean this as respectful because everybody's at a different point. At this point, if you're not vaccinated, it is because you are choosing not to be vaccinated. It is incredibly easy to get vaccinated at this point. It's incredibly easy. And if you are choosing not to be vaccinated, that's perfectly easy. That's your choice. But if you want to be vaccinated, you can schedule an appointment in the next 2 days.
I'm still scared, though. I'm scared of needles. I don't care how many people tell me that the first one hurts, the second one didn't hurt. Oh, Sean, it's a tiny needle. Grow a pair. I'd rather be knocked out. I'd rather be punched by Mike Tyson than have to get any sort of a shot in my arm.
I don't think anybody likes shots. To me, this is just a cost of doing business. Like, I want my life to go back to how it was before. This is what they're telling me I need to do for my life to go back to the way that it was. So, sure.
Yeah, I guess it's worth it.
I mean, I would go do a third shot if that's what I had to do. Like, I'm willing to do my part to get back to normal. I want everybody to be able to do their part, too. Someone asked if I'm interested in Bernard Pollard. No. Bernard Pollard is trying to come back, and the Chiefs are interested.
The Bone Crusher?
Are interested.
The what?
I'm serious.
I mean, why don't you bring back Dale Carter?
It wasn't even an April Fool's thing. Why don't you bring back
Kevin Rock Ross or Albert Lewis or Mighty Mouse Mark McMillan?
I mean, I'm on your side, too. I mean,
Eric Warfield coming back, too?
I mean, your guy Brett Veach is the one that took the phone call. I wouldn't even answer the phone. Bernard Pollard called my phone. You ain't talking about money. What are we talking about? I don't have any interest in talking to you, Bernard. You ain't done nothing
for me. Patrick Sertan was busy. Ty Law. The hell?
Thing is, Chiefs lost to Tom Brady, so now they're like, I know how we can beat him. Bring in Bernard.
Yeah, that seems like.
What happened. Brady was cooking him.
He took him out. He did take him out. The Bone Crusher.
Do you think Bernard Pollard could play left tackle for the team?
I mean, they don't have a left tackle, so yeah. How do you get the nickname the Bone Crusher? That's a badass nickname. I mean, he did crush the bones of Tom Brady.
I think that's how he got the nickname.
No, he was a Bone Crusher before that. He was the Bone Crusher when he played at Bernard Pollard, Purdue?
Yeah, Purdue.
Purdue, huh? I'm done. That's it. That's my week.
We got to get off of here because Bink has to come on in like 90 seconds, and if I don't get out of this chair, Bink might actually physically assault me. We'll catch you guys.
And I'll help him.
Not even on Monday. We don't work on Monday. The Royals play on Monday. Talk to you on Tuesday. It's The Drive.